I'm John Batzer with my colleague Anatole Levin, the Eurasia Project Director at the Quincy Institute for Responsible Statecraft, Coalition of the Willing, and it met in London last Friday. And afterwards, Mr. Zelensky was bolstered by not only promises, but policy. Mr. Starmer, Mr. Macron, Mr. Meretz, and the leadership of the important part of the EU is committed to Ukraine war. However, there are questions that I can raise that I need help on. Anatole, I've mentioned this before. It comes to my attention that the Ukrainians, especially those fighting the war or participating in fierce resistance, identify in some fashion with what we would consider unacceptable conduct. Sometimes they're called neo-Nazis. Sometimes they're just called Nazis. They celebrate the Nazi Wehrmacht behavior in Ukraine. 20 million people died from Ukraine during the Second War at the hands of the Germans and their allies. Since then, this idea that there are Nazis in Ukraine, first advanced by Mr. Putin, I believe it's one of his war aims to end the Nazification of Ukraine and to bring the Russian speakers home. But I did a report yesterday that demonstrates it's impossible to ignore the fact that there are Nazis in the military being supplied by NATO, by the United States, and that they have no intention of hiding their background or taking the tattoos off. All of this is hard for me to understand how NATO knows this and goes along with it and doesn't object to it. Can you help me understand this?
Well, I mean, the thing is that these people, you know, we're talking about groups like the Azov regiment, which is now actually much more than a regiment. I've heard it may be a divisional strength. I wouldn't myself describe them as Nazis because, you know, that brings with it the whole sort of images of the Holocaust and everything else. They certainly have fascistic elements, that's for sure. Their ancestors fought alongside the Germans in the Second World War, but they would say, you know, that they were fighting for Ukrainian independence. They are, of course, extreme ethnic nationalists. That's true enough, and bitterly anti-Russian. Also, I think at heart, at least they always were in the past, anti-Semitic. The reason why people are not talking about this is, well, A, of course, because it would cast some doubt on Western aid to Ukraine, including military aid, because this force now plays a very important role in the Ukrainian army. And obviously, you know, a lot of Western supplied weapons are going to them. European countries don't want questions asked about that. But the other reason is that these are very, very highly motivated volunteer fighters, you know, unlike a large part of the Ukrainian army, which is now made up, frankly, of pretty unwilling conscripts. And as such, they have played a key part at key moments in the Ukrainian defense. So, I mean, if the Europeans were to insist on these groups being disbanded, it would not merely be a huge embarrassment. It would also not happen because Zelensky cannot do that. But if it did happen, it would greatly weaken the Ukrainian armed forces as well as dividing them internally. So now whether as part of some eventual peace settlement...
We have 30 seconds, Anatole.
Azov can be disbanded. This is what the Russians are demanding. But whether it will ever be possible, that I cannot say.
Anatole Levin of the Quincy Institute for Responsible Statecraft, reflecting on remarks by the president about the Ukraine war prior to the meeting with Xi Jinping about nuclear weapons.
You're listening to CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.